It's time for Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome to today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows here on Praise, your inspiration station. Thank you so much for joining us. We know you could have been anywhere on your radio dial, but we're certainly happy you decided to stop by here. Today on the program, we're talking about the wife of noble character. We have a special guest in studio. Her name is LaToya Bailey, and she is the author of the book, You Are Already a Wife. Good book. You are already a wife long before the first date. So we're going to speak with her and, of course, speak with you. Please give us a call at 855-454-5905. I'm Tiffany Bacon, your co-host, and here's your host with the most, Mr. Marcos Mercado. Good morning, Marcos. How are you?
Pretty good. Tiffany is good. I'm sitting here saying, okay, we're talking about the wife of noble character. Mm-hmm. I know you'll be excited to get ready. It's really a great book. Mm-hmm. I actually read the book, and LaToya Bailey is here with us in studio.
Good morning.
All right, good morning. It's good to have you. And we just want to say good morning to all our friends in Charlotte, here in Philadelphia, and throughout the world. And also a special guest is my wife, the bride of my youth. She is here with me. It's great to have you, Amaryllis. Good morning to the show. Good morning, everyone. As always, we want to start with a word of prayer. Let's go to God. Heavenly Father and God, we are so grateful for your love, your mercy, your sacrifice, God, and the way that you always guide us, Father, especially as we build relationships. Father, I do pray that you'll be with every married couple and every person who is hoping to be married, God. Really use our program to bless, to enrich, empower, and encourage them, Father. We love you, God. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Our theme scripture of the day comes from none other than Proverbs 31. And it talks about the wife of noble character. And I'll simply read a few verses from it. It says, the wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. And so if you haven't already kind of chimed in or even checked out our Facebook page, we're going to go to a lot of questions that you have on Facebook. Of course, we always want to hear from you directly. And in just a moment, I want to hear a little bit more about what prompted Ms. Bailey here to write this book about You Are Already a Wife way before, long before the first date.
All right. So make sure you give us a call at 855-454-5905. Save it, store it, and give us a call.
There you go. All right. So LaToya, you wrote this book. Obviously, in having read it, there was a lot on your heart in terms of you preparing to be a wife. It's interesting because a lot of times people prepare for the wedding. They don't necessarily prepare to be a bride or really a wife for the rest of their life. So what prompted you to go ahead and actually write down these things, these convictions, these passions you had about just preparing your life, your heart, to be a wife?
Well, thank you, first off, Marcos, for having me come in this morning. What prompted me to write the book, actually this started as a journal. Mm-hmm. I really wanted to talk to the Lord about some things that were on my heart. You know, I was always kind of like the bridesmaid, never a bride kind of thing. And I was watching many relationships flourished, and I wondered why I was not in a healthy relationship. And one of the things God said is that I felt God was saying to me is that I needed to focus on my relationship with him. I needed to focus on some different things within my character that would not survive in a marriage. And so in doing that, this journaling became a situation where I felt the Lord prompted me to share it with other women who were also feeling the way that I felt. And so at first I didn't want to do that, very private things I was talking about. And then I realized that, you know, this book wasn't for me initially, it's for other people to really understand what they needed to do to get to the point where they were doing the work that's necessary to become a woman of character growing into that wifedom experience.
Okay, great. Well, LaToya, what are some of those things, if you don't mind? You don't have to give away all your secrets, but what are some of those personal battles or things in your own character that you had to overcome to really change to prepare yourself?
Okay, well, you said overcome. I would like to say that it's still a work in progress. I mean, as long as I'm here, God is always going to continue to do what's necessary in me and change what's necessary. And one of the things that I realized about me, and I think it was the scariest thing, is that I was selfish. And not selfish in giving, like money and and giving of time, but really selfish in those things that people really don't think about when you're in a relationship, like space, you know, and you know, really saying, okay, well, these are things that, you know, in a relationship, these are things, well, this is important for him, and so you have to create time and really be there for that person and to really help nurture and support that person. That means giving up some things that you might want to do, giving up and not necessarily on your dreams per se, but just giving up, you know, some of that, like I said, some of that time to really spend quality and necessary time on nurturing the relationship with another person. And like I said, space, like I realize sometimes, and, you know, my family that's listening, they might say, oh, that's her. But, you know, when people come into my personal space, being single for a long time, you realize that, you know, you don't like to give up. You don't like to give up some of those those areas where people get to know you. You're not ready to open up. And that could even be with family. So, you know, if you have issues with that, then your relationship is going to suffer. So, you know, you really need to know or allow God to tell you what areas need to change in you. And for me, that was being a little selfish. That was the one thing. And there's others, but that was the first.
All right. Well, good. And, you know, we want to post a question out there. You know, is it necessary to prepare? And for those who are married and you felt like you were not well prepared for marriage, you know, what are some of those things that have come up in your relationship that now you wish you would have done differently? And this is for wives and husbands. I mean, husbands as well. We're not exempt from having to prepare our spiritual walk, or, you know, even just our own life. You know, a lot of times people do prepare for that wedding day, but we don't prepare for that life together, for that marriage. And I think so much of that comes up. You know, in a moment, I'll have my wife share a little bit more, because, you know, we both have learned a lot throughout the years. And specifically, I would say right before that courting stage, and while we got ready, you know, we did have that preparation stage. But a lot came out even during the engagement process for us, where that selfishness that LaToya just talked about, you know, the different things that come up. We had that going on in our own lives, and we had to realize. And of course, it is a work in progress, but there are some things that I'm very grateful that we got some help beforehand.
Yes.
And so we want to hear from you. What are some of those things that you wish you would have learned or done differently to prepare you for marriage? Because, you know, we do say for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, but do we always meet it, or do we always prepare for those things? LaToya just mentioned about personal space. I heard Tiffany just kind of say, what do you mean? We're here
in
the studio.
No, I didn't say that. I knew
Tiffany,
exactly what she
meant. Well, the funny part is here we're all crammed up in the studio, but Tiffany has all her personal space there. But I don't know. One thing I want to hear about is what's up with these women and their purses? What is going on? They have everything in there. You know, men, you just carry your wallet, maybe a cell phone.
But you know what? A man is always thankful for a woman with a big purse, because when you bust a button or if you cut your finger, we got a, you know, you got a napkin in there for you. We got some needle and thread sometimes to sew that button.
Unless I'm hungry and then you got something in there that I can eat. Then I'm grateful.
But sometimes that too.
But again, we're going to give out the number one more time here. Make sure that you go ahead and give us a call. We want to hear from you. We have LaToya Bailey here in studio. She is the author of You Are Already a Wife Long Before the First Date. Also, my wife Amaryllis is here. Of course, Tiffany and myself, we're here and we are looking to answer your questions, to get in on conversation in terms of this topic. You know, what is it for you? You know, if you feel that there's an importance of getting prepared before marriage, is that important, or do you just learn as you go? Because we all know you can just go get a marriage license. There are just a very few requirements. Number one, you got to make sure you're not already married here in the United States. Other parts of the world, that's not even a requirement. But here for us and in most parts of the world, you got to make sure you're not already married. But then pretty much after that is the fact that you are able to just sign a piece of paper, pay a few dollars and say, OK, now I'm ready to be married. And there's really no preparation. Now, a lot of churches, a lot of ministries do offer premarital counseling. But even when I get with folks, a lot of times that premarital counseling was just kind of a a way to just pass a test and say, okay, I'm going to agree and just nod my head all the way through. And then we make it to the altar. And then the true test comes when you're married. So again, we're talking about if you're already a wife long before the first date, what is important in terms of preparing before marriage?
All right. So we want you to give us a call, 855-454-5905. But stay right there. Don't you touch that dial. We're going to take a break. And we will return with more Marriage Beyond the Vows right after this.
And now, back to Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praised. All right. Thank you so much for joining us. Welcome back. Welcome back. Here on Marriage Beyond the Vows, our topic today is the wife of noble character. We have a special guest here. Her name is LaToya, and she wrote the book, You Are Already a Wife, long before the first date. The question we have on the table is, what would you do differently to prepare for marriage? Do you think preparation for the marriage, not just the wedding, is necessary? Give us a call, 855-454-5905. Marcos, let's go to line one and speak with Linda. Linda, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Hi, thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Linda. And what is your comment or question for us today?
Well, I have a comment. I have a question first.
Sure.
I know in the Bible it speaks of a man and a woman not getting divorced. But how about if you was in an abusive relationship? I wish I would have got counseling before I said I do, but I didn't. The question is, how can a pastor or a counselor suggest that a wife stay in an abusive relationship?
You know,
or is it healthy for a wife or spouse? Could be a male, because a woman can be abusive as well, but is it okay for someone to stay in an abusive relationship even though they are married?
Okay, great question. And Linda, I want to say thank you so much for sharing that. I don't know if you're sharing from a personal experience or you're just asking that question because there are some things that you've seen. Okay, wait a minute, you should have prepared before your wedding. Either way, Linda, I think that it's conflicting for our people. Number one, you know, we want to make sure we do things God's way. Mm-hmm. And God does have a certain way of doing them. And we know that if someone is unfaithful, you are able to get divorced. And we use many passages, including the scriptures in Matthew, that talk about, you know, divorce. And it's not because God wants that divorce, but because someone has broken that trust, that covenant. But when it comes to an abusive relationship, you know, number one, I always tell people, make sure you're safe. You never want to be in an unsafe situation, and so you want to make sure you're safe. But the scriptures that I personally make reference to is 1 Corinthians 7, where it talks about that you should remain in the place in life where God set you, in the sense that you should, if you're unmarried, you know, you don't necessarily have to seek marriage, but if you, it's better to marry than to burn with passion. But then it also gives a way out. It says if you decide not to stay married and walk away, then you are to remain unmarried. Now, for some people, that's a better alternative, right? If they're in a really bad situation, they're being abused physically, emotionally, you know, in whatever way they're being abused, then they get to the point where they say, you know, I'd rather be alone. And so, again, it's not my words. This is the Bible saying. So you can't just say, well, I'm going to divorce this man. I don't like him, or I don't like the way he treats me, and I'm just going to find myself another man. God is like, no, you are able to walk away from that relationship, but now you must remain alone or be reconciled to your husband, meaning that God can change his heart, change his life. If he really is different and he's not, you know, he's going to get help in terms of changing and not being abusive, then there's a different situation. So for your case, Linda, or your question is, I would say get out of that situation, be safe, and then make a decision of, you know, if this is something that you cannot live with, then is it better to live alone than to be with your husband?
Okay, because that's what I want to do. I want to stay alone until I see fit that I want to marry. And the next step would be for me to get counseling if I do for the second time. I don't know if I really do or don't, you know, get married again because of the first experience that I had.
Now, are you presently married, Linda?
Sir, I'm divorced now. I've been divorced now for 6 months.
Okay, so basically what you're saying is you're better off. You feel like you're not trying to look for a man. You're not trying to even reconcile with your husband right now. You're just kind of enjoying that peace that you have right now, being outside of the relationship.
Okay. Yes, sir. I'm in a place now at peace.
Okay.
Where I can have God to guide me in the right direction that I need to go into.
Okay.
Because I feel like when you're in a marriage or a relationship and it's distracting, I feel like you can't listen to what God has for you because you're getting distracted by other things.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like if I stay where I am right now, as far as single, and find my pathway with God, then I'm okay. You know,
absolutely.
Because I love being at a peace. I love peace.
You know what?
I just love peace at my home, my job, wherever I go. I love to have that sense of peace.
All right.
You know, so I felt like that's what I need to do, and I wanted to make sure that it was because I feel like sometimes. You know, bad luck comes, you have a little struggles, and I feel like the reason why I had my struggles in the last 2 years since I've been divorced, you know, separated, and now I'm mm-hmm. divorced because I let the marriage go.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I just couldn't do it anymore, you know. I got tired of crying, I get tired of waiting, you know, for that person to change. I mean, you don't see any change, even to this day. I would not reconcile my husband because still to this day, he still has that mentality of, wanting to control someone,
okay.
my mm-hmm. body, and so. And
so was it emotional abuse, you would say?
Sir?
Yes. What kind of abuse?
That's what we shouldn't be. That's what I feel like no woman should be, you know.
Absolutely.
Let someone control your mind, body, and so. I feel like, you know,
mm-hmm. okay.
it shouldn't be that way.
Absolutely.
So that was the question I had for you guys.
Okay, mm-hmm. Linda, we thank you so much for your call. And we wish you the best. Thank you so much for calling in. All right. Let's go to an anonymous caller we have on line 2. Good morning. You're live on the air with Praise.
Good morning.
Good morning. If you could do us a big favor, please just speak up a little more. It seems like you're a little bit
Can you hear me?
Oh, that's perfect. Thank you. Thank you
okay.
so much there. All right. Well, good. This is Marcos Mercado, and you called into Marriage Beyond the Vows, where we're discussing preparation for marriage. You know, we have Latoya Bailey here with us, who recently wrote a book, You Already a Wife, Long Before the First Date. And also my wife, Amaryllis, is here in the studio. So do you have a question or a comment for us today?
I think a little slightly of both.
Okay.
I was listening to the young lady who wrote the book, and she was talking about selfishness and space. And it has taken me a long time to actually realize my issues and my patterns in relationships. I'm not married. I would love to be married. But God had to show me that, you know, it's all about him and receiving him first
mm-hmm.
and foremost. And I've one that has, you know, I have been going to church all my life. And I know that doesn't make you saved, but that is my foundation. But my statement is, you know, you talked about the selfishness and the space part. I was one that, I feel like I am selfish because I didn't want space. You know, I wanted to be with the man at all times.
Mm-hmm.
So I realized that was a problem because it was smothering.
Mm-hmm.
So I found out that, you know, I think I was a little bit needy.
Mm-hmm.
So it made me realize that there was something personal inside that made me feel like I had to be with this man at all times.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to know if you had something, you know, that you experienced that, you know, you could help me with on that.
Okay, sure.
Okay, well, thank you. Answer. Thank you. Yes, I have had, you know, a relationship in the past where I also felt a little needy. And felt that I needed to be around that person at all times. And for me, I'll say one was trust issues that I had with that person. I felt that I needed to always be around that person so that that person didn't have an opportunity to, you know, see if there was anyone else out there. So that was an issue within me. Another reason why I think that I also felt the need to smother is because I didn't, you know, take the time to get my own life and to really delve into some other relationships in my life that also needed cultivating and needed time to build. And I mean relationship with friends, godchildren, girlfriends, you know. So sometimes if you get someone in your life and then you think everything else has to change, You know, you have to stop seeing your girlfriends as much, stop traveling home to see your parents, or stop spending time with, you know, your nieces or nephews. And those things shouldn't happen. You still need to put them in the space and place they should be in, but they are also a healthy part of who you are. And so sometimes if you don't allow that other person to have his or her healthy relationships, then it really doesn't give you an opportunity to really see that person in full fruition for who he is or for who she is. And so I know that now going into a relationship, first of all, the trust has to be there for me, because if it's not there, then I'm wondering what that person's doing. I don't need to be around that person. I like to miss people. Mm. You know, I like to, you know, that feeling of wanting to see that person again and, you know, looking at that person and say, wow, I really missed you. But if you're around that person all the time, then neither one of you really get that opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Mm. That's true. Let Marilla's answer.
Yeah, I think the other part to that is also we need to make sure as women that we are seeking our relationship with God first. And this might sound, you know, it sounds so spiritual, but I think that we tend to, we get more needy outside of relationship with our spouse or who we're dating or even our girlfriends when we're not close to God. And I think that sometimes we want that security or that reassurance from someone that oftentimes we tend to neglect, that is our relationship with God that is lacking, just trusting God and getting our security from him and understanding that we are precious and understanding who we are to him and who he is to us.
Absolutely. You know, and I do want to say thank you so much, because I don't know if that helps, but I do believe that it always goes back to our relationship with God. And this is for wives and husbands. But for some reason, you know, after Adam and Eve sinned, you know, God caused the man to say, okay, listen, you are going to have to work and sweat for everything you get now. And he said, the wife, you would have this desire for your husband, meaning that women are from God. Okay, you could take this with God. This is not something that I'm making up. But women are somehow predisposed to have this desire for their husband. And sometimes that left unchecked can really lead to smothering or feeling like you have to be around this person the whole time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes in the beginning that could be okay, but I tell you, as a man, you always need your space. Yes. And space is healthy. Yep. It's very, very healthy for a relationship. So hopefully that helps you when you mentioned that question there. We appreciate you mentioning that.
It definitely did. Everything that everyone said has already been revealed to me, so I thank you for the confirmation.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for calling, and please continue to listen and let your friends and family know to listen to Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Thank you. Y'all have a blessed day.
All right, you do the same.
And I want to address a question here that someone posted on Facebook. It's very interesting, and because it says, I just mentioned to our previous caller, to Linda, that, you know, she was in an abusive relationship. And so we had a caller here from Charlotte that said, so is Marco saying that a person who gets out of an abusive marriage can never remarry? That seems like unfair punishment for the innocent victim. I believe that God restores and has a problem. I have a problem believing that God will not allow that individual to heal and have a healthy marriage after an abusive marriage. And, you know, I really do appreciate that comment. I'm not going to mention the name because I don't know if you want it to be known or not. But the question perhaps is what's most important. And I mentioned that. I said, look, you can't get an issue with me. Sometimes I don't understand that. I'll be honest. I don't know why God put some things in the Bible and didn't, especially when it comes to relationship. And sometimes, even this past week when I posted a few other questions on Facebook, sometimes people feel like, well, it seems like it's not fair, right? Like the women have to work harder, or the women need to submit to the husbands. But the Bible, it does say submit to one another, but it doesn't directly say in Ephesians 5, husbands, submit to your wives. You know, the submission word is for the women. And a lot of times it's like, it seems like it's unfair. You know, is God sexist? You know, is he unbiased when it comes to, oh, you know, God is the father figure. So being a man, does he, you know, treat women unfairly? And so when it comes to marriage, a lot of times people can feel that way. It's like, wait a minute. Usually people say, you know, it's true, a woman can abuse a husband, and that does happen. But we know most times it's the husband, if there's an abuse in the relationship, most of the time it's the husband who's abusive to the wife. most times, you know, being a lot bigger, stronger, whatever, you know, especially if it's physical abuse. So anyway, what we mentioned that is, look, this is not my words. I wish sometimes that the Bible does, you know, would say certain things like, you know, if a man's abusive, then, you know, you beat him down. You know, he touches his woman, you give him a beat down. But the reality is that I believe that especially in different societies, that can be misinterpreted. And someone can say, okay, that's abuse. It's really not. I believe the New Testament is filled with matters of conscience. It doesn't always tell us exactly what to do. And that can be frustrating for those who are very religious and want just to be told, okay, tell me yes or no. Give me a confirmation. And sometimes God is like, well, what do you want? You know, God, I really want to know if this is the man of my dreams. If he's a, well, is he the one you want? You know, and God leaves that up to us. And sometimes we just want God to control us and tell us, but God gives us free will. So in being in an abusive relationship, I believe what happens is God allow you to, you made that decision. God allowed it to happen, right? You made that choice. Maybe you knew that your husband was going to be abusive. Maybe you didn't know. Maybe you ignored the signs. Maybe he deceived you. But now you have to make a decision of what kind of wife you're going to be. And also if it's not safe for you and your family, that you leave that situation, but it doesn't allow you to go out there and find someone else and just say, okay, now I'm going to just change. I'm going to change husbands. I don't like this one, God. I chose this one, but I don't like him. Can I send them back? You know, can I return him? What's the return policy on this husband? And it's like, no, you took him for better, for worse. However, amen, that there is that option to say I can leave. So separation is always an option. But when it comes to actual divorce, unless it's infidelity, you really can't biblically divorce. And I can't mention or give you an option that God doesn't give. You guys want to chime in here? Amaryllis or Latoya? No, Tiffany,
you upset was with that?
Yep. Am I upset with that?
Scary.
Why? Because I'm wiping my eyes.
Crying, Tiffany?
No.
Crying. Oh, no. You know, and no one wants that, right? No one goes to the altar saying, okay, this is going to be worse. This is this situation. I always talk about ignoring the signs. You know, sometimes we just don't see what God is showing us. My wife and I, we counseled a couple. And a few months before their wedding, it got physical. Like, the husband, like, pushed the wife. They used to, they were non-Christians before. And they lived together. And they had a really unhealthy relationship. Then they both became Christians. They broke up. They lived in separate homes. But they really had this desire to be together. And they were a young couple. And we were like, listen, don't rush. And my wife and I started counseling them. And they got to the point where they just couldn't wait to get married. I mean, they were rushing. They were trying to make it happen quickly. And we're like, what's the rush? But, you know, it was, let's be honest, it was, a lot of it was lust and worldly passions. And so no matter what we told them, we're like, listen, you need time, you need time. And then sure enough, bam, God opened the door and gave them more time because, you know, they didn't have a lot of financial means or whatever. And right at that moment, they had a lot of stress and they had a big fight and he like pushed her in the street or something. And I think she fell on the ground. I mean, it was ugly. And they talked about it. But they were, first of all, even afraid to bring it up because they felt like we were going to tell them that they weren't ready. And sure enough, we told them, you're not ready. But they just didn't really listen. And of course, I treat people as adults. If this is what they want, this is our advice. But, you know, you can forgive and you can move on. But I said, just remember this. And I told the wife, signs. I said, remember this. This is who you're marrying. He has anger issues and it's not going to go away. Sure enough, they got married and they had issues. The good thing is at that point, he started getting help. So it took a few years. Now they're doing well. They're married. They're in a very different situation. So sometimes we look at the happy ending, and but we don't realize that the road could have been a lot different.
That's right.
And I tell you, it even cost this man his job at one point because he lost control, hit a student or something. He was a teacher. So it's just a crazy cycle that, thank God, for, because of the grace of God, God opened that door. But, you know, that happens. And so because we ignored those signs. But in that case, could you imagine if she would have left? They wouldn't have been able to reconcile. And so I'm grateful that they persevered. I just wish, in my end, from where I sit, just wish they would have done it a little differently. And they would have just waited and allowed God to mold them first and really be prepared for marriage? So, again, we're posting the question, you know, how important it is to prepare for marriage? If you're a wife, you know, are you preparing for your husband if you're not yet married? And if you're married, you know, are you consistently preparing yourself, changing and being what you need to be for your wife? And, of course, if you're a husband, for the husband as well.
All right. So we want you to give us a call, 855-454-5905. And I'm sure this is going to come up at some point. Somebody out there is probably going to ask, what does that preparation look like? I need steps. Can you give me a step? So ponder that. Let that marinate for a second. And let's go to the phones. We have an anonymous caller on, I'm not sure what line you're on, but on line one. Hi, caller. You're live on the air.
Hi. How are you?
Good, good. Thank you for calling us.
Oh, thank you. I was just calling about a statement that Mr. Mercado made about submission.
Yes.
And, you know, the wife being submitted to husband.
Ephesians 5.
Actually, all in submission to each other.
Absolutely.
But the Bible requires us as women to be submitted in one manner, but also I had a problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
So.
You had a problem with what I mentioned, or you just had a problem with that in life, and you're at a different place?
And no, in the marriage.
Okay.
Because if I had to prepare, because I'm in agreement with everything you're saying about being prepared for the marriage, because God's been working with me on a lot of things, and that was the main thing he has been dealing with me about, is, you know, we prepare and make all these big plans for all, you know, the wedding day, but preparing for the life of the marriage. Had I known the things I had known and got counseling, et cetera, then, you know, I probably would have looked at things a lot more differently and probably said no. But I've been married. I wasn't saved when we were married. And actually, this is my second marriage. I was planning on getting another divorce, and God just stopped me. I was like, fall on the road to Damascus, stopped in my tracks. And,
okay,
you know,
great.
He just gave me scriptures from 1 Corinthians 7, all those scriptures relating to marriage, and even just scriptures that he just enlightened me with. And now my question is, when I found out the truth, I got angry with my husband. So it was a lot of resentment and stuff that God had to deal with me about, bitterness. And, you know, when I found out the truth, it was like I turned against him.
If you don't mind me asking, when you say you found out the truth about?
The word of God.
Okay, I understand. You mean when your eyes were opened?
Yeah.
You're like, what did I get into? Why didn't I do this differently? Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
But now he's showing me also, and that I'm not perfect either. So
we know. No one is.
That love walk and having to walk in love, irregardless of what's going on and irregardless of, you know, what he's done, know how to pray for him. Mm-hmm. And that's what he's teaching me through all of this. So I get to see God in a different manner and the total love that he has for us. And that's where he allows me to see that foundation in Christ. But sometimes I get stuck at that point. I'm like, what am I supposed to do, you know, when I have these feelings that come up and I have to override them?
Well, and you're right. And what Luke 9:23 talks about, denying yourself daily.
Yes.
Meaning that you die to self. There's going to be that selfish desire, that sinful nature to go ahead and deny yourself. We say no to self. And that's the difference where when you're in a non-Christian marriage, you don't say no to self. It's all about you.
Mm-hmm.
But when Jesus is Lord, you say, you know what? It's not about me. It's about him.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you deny yourself. And one question, not necessarily a question, but a comment to your point there, when you mentioned that you really wish you had that preparation. You know, people pay a lot of money, brides specifically, but husbands too. You know, the wedding dress, you know, the party favors, you know, wedding favors, all that stuff, the details of the day. And then sometimes, you know, to get counseling, it's not always cheap, right? But it's so inexpensive in comparison to the other expenses that you have for the wedding day. Or sometimes it might even be free, right? Because you might go to your pastor. You might already belong to a church where your pastor might not charge you for that premarital counseling, but it's going to cost you the pain, the time. You're so busy doing everything else. But, you know, it's such a small price to pay for the rest of your life to make sure that you are absolutely certain that this is the one you're going to spend the rest of your life with.
Mm-hmm. wanted to share something. A couple of days ago, I would say about 3 days ago, I had Marcos and I had a misunderstanding. You know, you could call it a disagreement or
a fight.
A fight, not a eye to eye. And I, you know, I went back to Ephesians 5 and I said, and it reads in 21, it says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And I'm like, I was having an issue with the submission, but I realized that it was a deeper issue of my reverence towards Christ, the scripture. I was fighting the scripture. I refused to want to accept my role. I refused to embrace, to give in. It was too much about my rights, what I felt, what I wanted to do. And I failed to see for a while, you know, what does it mean to have reverence? And who am I having reverence towards? You know, the focus was on Marcos and not on the scripture. And it took me about an hour to really understand and to wrestle and to pray and to read and read. I mean, I must have read at least 20 scripture before I came to a conclusion and realized, you know, this is not about Marcos. This is about my relationship with God. And I need to take it on with God. And I prayed, I cried. I mean, I was like, God, why? You know, but at the end of the day, I needed to submit to the scriptures. And I tell you, I went back and I had a talk with him, and but my attitude was different. I wasn't expecting anything in return because I had wrestled with God. And oftentimes, you know, we want the blessing. We want the relationship to be where it should be. We want the ideal relationship, but we're not willing to put into the work that it goes into. And oftentimes we want the other person to be the one to change. And we fail to realize that God is working on us. So for me, this was a turning point in my relationship with my husband and in my relationship with God, that I need to have reverence towards Christ. I need to, the feeling, the attitude, that deep respect needs to be towards the scripture. And then it will come easily, submission as a wife.
Okay, great. No, go ahead. Please say something.
Okay. I have one more question. So I said we were, like I said, I was married before, and I was on my way to another divorce, and God was like, no, we're going to nix this in the bud. So we have both gotten saved, and like I said, we weren't saved when we first got married. We got saved, but my husband walked away, and I think my other anger, because I got angry all over again, God was working with me, and I started, you know, going out. Then I got angry again because he started walking away from the best thing would ever happen to us. And I really got, like, seriously, seriously angry. And God had to deal with me about the root of bitterness and the things that comes out of that and how it affects everything around you. And so he's been dealing with me, especially with the walking in love, you know, this is not something that I just pick out the air. This is something I have to do, you know, and the action I have to actually make daily. So me and my husband are separated right now, but not because we wanted to be. It was almost, it's crazy. If I got into the whole dynamics of our relationship, it'd be like,
yeah.
And you still want to hang on to him? Because he always asked me, why do you still want to be married to me?
You know what I would recommend is study out the book of Jonah. You know, Jonah had major issues.
I'm writing on that.
All right, great. Well, that's good. And, you know, the part that made me make that connection is, you know, when Jonah was wrestling, there was a point where he sat in the shade that God provided this vine. And it grew right away just to provide shade. And Jonah, you know, he was good. He was content. He went to sleep or whatever. Then the next morning, the vine died. God caused the vine to die. And he got really hot. And he was, and then, pun intended, but he got heated with God. He was like, why you took the shade, you know? And so we tend to be, a lot of times, our emotions control us. And we're very conditional with our relationship with God. You know, God blesses us. Oh, God, you're incredible. You're such an amazing God because you bless us. Then something goes wrong and we feel like God is cursing us instead of embracing it together and saying,
oh, my gosh. Mine is opposite. I tell God, I said, I must be somebody cut out of a different thing because
okay, tell us.
Different. When, oh, I'm sorry.
No, no, go ahead. I just want you to make it brief because we got quite a few other callers that want to get in, okay. So I just want to make sure.
I won't be selfish. I'll let you take the other callers.
All right. Well, I just want to say, but thank you. Thank you so much. And, you know, connect with us. Post more of your stuff on Facebook if you can, okay. or hit us up, you know, on the web at praisephilly.com or praisecharlotte.com.
Okay, I will.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I enjoy your show so much.
Well, thank you for calling.
Thank you. If you're just tuning in, this is Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise Your Inspiration Station. Today we are talking we have our special guest in the studio who wrote the book, You Are Already a Wife Long Before the First Date. But our specific question to you is, what would you do differently to prepare for marriage? We want you to answer the question and get on the line, and let's have a good old discussion about it as we've been having for the last hour or just about. 855-454-5905 is the number for you to call.
Okay, great. We've had a lot of conversation here in terms of what's important about preparing and not preparing. Then my wife did share that she was wrong when we had an argument this week. I knew it.
Amen.
But I think in all seriousness, you know, she brought it back to her relationship with God. And we struggle with the things that God tells us. Now, there are some things, you know, that we can struggle with, and they might be debatable, and they're a matter of opinion. And there are other things that are absolutely not matters of opinion. Mm-hmm. For example, marriage. You know, if you are going to be intimate with someone, you must be married to them. Right. We can't explain that away. I don't care what society says. I don't care what anyone else says. It could be your minister saying it's okay. It's not okay. The Bible is very clear about it. And then secondly, you know, when we get in trouble, when things don't go our way, when we're struggling, then we don't like it. You know, for example, earlier we talked about being in an abusive relationship. Sometimes there were signs, but you chose that person. And these are the consequences. Now, I'm not saying you stay in that situation. You can get out of that situation, but it doesn't mean you're free to remarry. It means that now you remain alone.
All right. So we're going to continue our conversation, and we definitely want to hear from you. We're also going to find out what people are saying on our second favorite book, Facebook. So make sure you go there, hit the like button, and you'll be able to post your comments. Marriage Beyond the Vows, that's what you're listening to. Give us a call at 855-454-5905. Stay right there. More conversation continues after this.